The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this December 3rd, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on what is a gorgeous day from the inside. It's sunny, it's a little windy, it's chilly outside. It's my type of weather, you know that. And man, we are rocking and rolling through the month of December as this has been a busy week around Auburn with football stuff going on, basketball coming up tonight, high school basketball as well. It's been a crazy couple of days, and man, we've got more to get to on what is a loaded but shortened Wednesday edition of On the Line. We'll talk about that as we go. But Christian, happy Wednesday, sir. How are you?
Happy Wednesday. Doing well, man. Lee Scott got a couple big-time wins last night, one of them a little prettier than the others. I know Auburn got a big win as well, so 3-0 at the high school level last night. So a really nice way to kind of leapfrog into what's already been a chaotic week, and you're working your way into another day like today, where you have the SEC-ACC challenge, both on the women's side of things, and on the men's side of things. That's the reason why we have a little bit of that. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the jam-packed, but a little bit of a shorter show. We have Auburn and NC State that we'll talk about here today. As we were going off air, literally, as the music was kicking us out yesterday, we got news that DJ Durkin was retained. That later information was dropped that Vontrell King-Williams was also retained. And so both of those guys, big names on the Auburn defense. We're going to start the show talking a little bit about that today, talking about how the fan base loves it. Man, the players seem to really love it. And then a little update on the Auburn early signing day and how nobody really expects it to be a giant class. But one of the things that you more so look at is the type of players that you're getting, maybe some positions, and then the average ranking as well. Because although the number that you sit right now in college football isn't where you necessarily want it to be, Auburn knows how young this team is, how young the talent is on the football field. And so the average ranking for the recruit is something that you feel like Auburn fans should look a little bit more towards. We'll dive into all of that. Before we get with Jordan Hill of Dogs 24/7, talk about the most recent college football playoff rankings, talk about Georgia's signing day. I know they're very comfortably in the top 10, if not creeping their way in the top five, for those types of guys or those types of classes. And then a little bit of scheduling updates. Again, we've wanted to dive into this conversation, and when we wrap up the conversation with Jordan talking about the college football playoff, it brings up a very interesting schedule on the Alabama side of things that goes to show you that college football is going to continue to change, and we're going to talk all about that here in hour number one.
Yeah, and so until we get to Jordan in about 30 minutes, the phone lines are open if you want to be a part of the show. We'd love to hear from you, 334-321-1390. This is the best time to get in today for the first 30 minutes of the show, because we then basically have back-to-back guests, and then with a shortened show today, we are done right around 3:30. And so if you want to get in on the phone lines, now's the time to do it, 334-321-1390. Or you could shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box like many of you did on our way out yesterday at 334-784-1067. Your thoughts on DJ Durkin returning as Auburn's defensive coordinator, Vontrell King-Williams being retained and returning on that defensive side of the football as well, or anything else that's on your mind on National Signing Day, college basketball, you name it, we'd love to talk to you about it. 334-321-1390 is the phone line number, or you could shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. And we gave very quick thoughts yesterday on the way out about DJ Durkin being retained. And the way I've described it, Christian, is Alex Golish is now 1-0 in my mind. He did the thing I felt you had to do for about 80 different reasons.
Yeah.
But keeping DJ Durkin was the clear and obvious one. My gut was telling me it wasn't looking good just because of the lack of clarity on it and the fact that it wasn't immediate. But regardless, the job is done. DJ Durkin returns as Auburn's defensive coordinator.
Yeah, you felt that the concern a little bit wasn't necessarily just because of the position still wanting to be filled with Durkin as your defensive coordinator. It was because of how fast so many other coaches took the other jobs to where – oh, gosh, you're looking out in the market, and there's 8 open jobs right now. How many of those are giving Durkin any sort of calls, and how none of that really made its way to the public surface, whether those were calls or not that were made? Alex Golish locked down as defensive coordinator, and now less than 48 hours into his tenure on campus, he has both coordinators,
yeah,
which is a very, very good sign for everything to come. It's a good sign for what today will look like, has already looked like, will look like hopefully as you work your way later in the week, as there's some more signings that are currently Auburn commits that are not planning on committing until Friday morning or Friday afternoon, and then obviously regular signing day, which you feel like doesn't really happen anymore. Mm-hmm. You feel like signing day, or early signing day has kind of just taken the triumph over everything. But then the transfer portal makes a very big difference in there as well. Having those 3 key pieces, you know who the offensive guy is, you know who the defensive guy is, and you know who your head coach is. All 3 of those answers have been figured out, and you're 48 and a couple hours later into the tenure of Alex Golish, which feels like it gives you a lot of confidence. You feel like, you mentioned it when it was the initial reactions, you gave it a C grade for Auburn and Golish. You said it was the midterm.
Yep.
You feel like he's now gone to study hall a little bit.
We had our next test. Next test has come. We had to, you know, we were grounded. We had to give mom the phone for a while. There was no video games when you get home from school. You had to study. You had to cram. You took the test. You waited 2 weeks for the teacher to put the grade in online, and the grade has been bumped.
It was one of those, all right, son, how'd you do? I don't know.
I feel like I did okay. I knew most of the answers, right? And then you sit around and you wait for the grade to be put in, and then boom, you get the update. Back in the day, you had to, you know, bring the piece of paper home, but kids don't know what that is nowadays. And so,
were you ever the, you tell them, oh, I failed it, just so that way expectations were already low?
See, weirdly enough, my mom and them didn't really ask how a test, well, most of the time they didn't know I had test because I wasn't studying for said test, but no, I didn't get a whole lot of questions. It really was the, as long as your grades are good, we don't ask any questions, but if they're bad, then we're just going to hammer you and we're just going to stay on your you-know-what until you figure it out. And that's what Alex Golish had to do. I said he had a C at midterm. We had our next test. He aced it. So,
with the bonus questions in there.
Yeah, sure. If, you know, you had the bonus sports question or whatever it was, those are my favorite. But just because you get one good grade doesn't bring the C all the way up to an A, but your average has been risen. It has grown, and I am now up to a B because you did what you needed to do. This was the first order of business that Alex Golish needed to handle. Now, we understand that there is a lot of retention that we would like to see on the roster. There was going to be some turnover in the coaching staff, and there will be some turnover on the roster. There was clearly some recruiting to do since he got hired, and 2 days later, National Signing Day came about, which is today. And we know that there's obviously a lot of other things going on too, but this was the number one priority for me. I think it was the number one priority for the players. I think it was the number one priority for the recruits. And I think the way you've seen the fan base respond in the last 22 hours since it happened, right? Everybody took a major sigh of relief and said, oh, thank the Lord.
Yeah, you don't even necessarily feel like you're in the excitement stage yet. Maybe now that it's been almost a day, you feel more excited, but it almost just felt like the relief side of things initially, and seeing all of the players react to it on social media obviously gives a lot of confidence towards, again, that big word of retention, which Alex Golish said that's his number one priority right now. As soon as he got on campus, before meeting with a bunch of people, man, he went and talked with the team, and he sat down and met with a couple individual players. And so everything that you're hearing and now seeing is working its way into the very benefits of Alex Golish before he even coaches a game for the Auburn Tigers.
Yeah, there's not really a good acronym for it, but RRP, right? Retention, recruiting, and portal. That's pretty much what Alex Golish has to do. There's no cool way to say that. I tried. Really. I sat over here for 2 or 3 minutes and tried to. RPR, yes, but I don't like the order of that because retention's first, then recruiting, or it may be recruiting, then retention, and then portal. I don't know. Either way, those are the three things that have to happen right now is Alex Golish has to retain as much talent on this roster that he can. Of course, you're going to lose players from eligibility reasons. Obviously, we don't talk about those players, but guys like Cam Coleman, guys like Deuce Knight, guys like Xavier Atkins, and those types of players on both sides of the football, you want to keep as many of them on the roster as you can. And Spectre just texted us in the on-the-line text box, which you can as well at 334-784-1067, asking for updates on guys like Cam Coleman. And for right now, we don't know, but you feel like Alex Golish, with the offensive mindset that he has, you have a pretty good chance of saving Cam Coleman, Malcolm Simmons, those types of players on the offensive side of the football. You're going to have to do some work on the running back room, and we'll talk about what that looks like in due time. But in terms of defensive retention, you feel like the work is already done. You feel like Alex Golish said, all right, DJ, I'm keeping you. Go to work.
Yeah.
And then you feel confident that DJ is going to deliver on that because of how the guys have responded in the last 22 hours since DJ Durkin was announced to be retained as the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, you're starting to see the Lil Durk album covers with DJ Durkin and his grill and his chain be posted around social media, or the AI image of him standing it. Midfield, there's now the one of him and Golish flying on an eagle inside Jordan Hare
Stadium.
That's
phenomenal.
There's a whole lot of them going around, but there's even the picture that I believe Auburn posted this morning of Golish and DJ Durkin standing together, looking up at the big monitor, and you feel like that right there was both smiling, both fist pumping, and it was, okay, that's what you needed to see, because that shows that there wasn't any sort of true animosity that maybe lasted more than a day, if that was the word that you choose to use. Now both are shaking hands and saying, all right, we have a goal that we need to go accomplish. DJ, I know that you were responsible for a lot of these guys coming in over the past couple of years, and a majority of the guys that are on the recruiting class, because a lot of them are defensive prior to Golish's arrival. Do what you can and come back and report to me. I'm now going to go to work on the guys that I liked when I was at South Florida, and now working even more so. You're getting receiver flips from Duke, and you're seeing, again, guys now stay in state, which is continuing to build the confidence, because you don't expect the biggest of the biggest names to just trust Alex Golish or trust this team and make the full-on Auburn commit. But when you're seeing guys that have these big offers that, you know, kept South Florida in their interest boards and now are making the commits with Auburn, I mean, with quarterbacks, with receivers, being able to keep guys like Jaquez Wilkes on the defensive side of the football, confidence is a word that can be thrown around and can be false at times. You can have major sorts of false confidence, but you feel like the way that they're going about everything is in a very confident manner, because as many graphics as you're seeing Hayes Fawcett and all of these guys post of flips his commits, flips and signs with blah blah. Mm-hmm. You're also seeing just as many blah blah plans to enter the transfer portal,
right?
Because the portal is not officially open for another month minus a day. You haven't seen that on the Auburn side of things. There's no X name plans on entering the transfer portal, and I think that's a very good sign. We talk about no news being good news, or it could possibly be concerning. Same thing with Auburn basketball when it was Stephen Pearl that got hired. No news with Tahad Pettiford, with Keyshawn Hall, is absolutely fantastic news.
Yeah, the other piece of news, Vontrell King-Williams being retained as well on Auburn's defensive staff, and you already saw how that came to fruition. Auburn has picked up a couple of defensive guys, especially on that D-line. You had a flip from Penn State about an hour or so ago, a three-star guy.
Is it time to start feeling genuinely bad for Penn State?
Have you seen the latest report?
They are dead last. They are 136th of 136 teams.
Oh, they were 138 as of this morning. A couple of hours, maybe last night or early this morning, they were 138.
What about team? I mean, I'm guessing behind teams like North Dakota State.
They were behind Montana State and Missouri State.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. That has since moved up a hair. But, no, I mean, they've lost everybody. I mean, James Franklin took everybody. And you expect that to happen quite a bit, but the latest update, literally 7 minutes ago from On3, is... Oh, where did it go? Here it is. Latest update from On3 for Penn State is top-level Penn State donors are now pushing for the athletic director, Pat Kraft, to promote interim head coach Terry Smith. So after this entire process, in this entire time, where, in case you didn't hear, BYU's head guy said, nah, I'm good, I ain't going anywhere. So that drama was put to bed. And all these other places have hired coaches. And the guy that was at the very top of my list for the Auburn job that I thought could take the Penn State job, no, took the South Florida job where Alex Golish just came from. While South Florida may be upset they lost Alex Golish, they ought to be celebrating on this Wednesday afternoon. They hired the best coordinator that might be in the country. And his name is Brian Hartline, the offensive coordinator and receivers coach at Ohio State.
Yeah, that was the one that I joked about for so long of, yeah, that's the unrealistic hire. That's the one that
I said Auburn calls him and he wouldn't even pick up the phone.
Yeah.
I figured at this point with Brian Hartline, if he hadn't gone anywhere by now, he wasn't going to go anywhere. But man, that's a great hire. That instantly puts me for USF at the top of the coaching carousel. They have the best hire in the cycle to me right now.
It makes it, too, a little bit unfortunate for Auburn because if Byron Brown doesn't decide to enter the NFL draft, makes it a little bit more difficult for him to come to Auburn.
If
that is part of the conversation.
Yeah.
If, again, that is not confirmed. That is just speculation on the fan base side of things. Again, he's the 3,000 pass yards thrower. That sounded really unknowledgeable.
Run with it.
Yeah, 3,000-yard pass thrower and 1,000-yard runner of football, which is one of like 8 guys in college football to ever be able to put that number together. And so makes it a little bit more difficult, but then you're going to see how much of it was NIL with Ohio State versus Brian Hartline. I'm sure that the two of those obviously coincided together. But yeah, 52 days it's been since James Franklin was fired.
And now, after this entire process where they have clearly looked over Terry Smith, who's been their interim head coach for, yeah, like you said, 50 days, now they're going to settle for the interim head coach. My buddies at Penn State, a lot of them told me they like Terry Smith, and they thought that was the correct move, was to just take the interim tag off of him. But clearly Penn State's been shopping anybody they can. They've just been told no.
Which goes to show you that as much flack or as much heat you want to put under the seat of John Cohen, it shows that his decision of trying to knock something down the Sunday after the Iron Bowl ended up being a really good decision. And now the way that Alex Golish has gone about doing things offensively and now defensively, there's at least a concrete foundation rather than you're 12 hours into signing day without any sort of confirmation, without any sort of picture of the future for this team at all. Real quickly, looking at just the Auburn statistics as a whole from the 2025 season, rather. They're 8th in rush defense at 97 yards per game. They were 77th in pass yards per game. They allowed 230 yards And so averaged right around 329 yards per game, rounding up or rounding down. Offensively, you were 51st rushing. You averaged 167 rushing yards per game. You were 101st in pass offense at 190 yards per game. And you were the 78th total offense in yards per game at 373. Offense is not necessarily the point getting with this, talking about DJ Durkin, where, again, you had the 8th-ranked rush defense in the country, 77th passing in the 31st overall defense. Obviously, any sort of offense in the middle stages of the SEC play would have benefited that even more, but did a little bit of research before going on the show. The Auburn defense held their Power 4 teams to more than a touchdown below their scoring average. 7.3 points below their scoring average, and that is including an outlier where it was only one game where you gave up 6 more points to Vanderbilt when they averaged 39 and that you gave up 45. Mm-hmm. But you even throw that outlier in there, and Auburn still, their defense allowed less than a touchdown or more than a touchdown below their opponent's average scoring per game.
Yeah.
Goes to show you why Golish made the decision and said, okay, wow. This entire time, the Auburn fan base has said, if we just score one more touchdown, we win the game. It's basically a flip. That's basically 2 touchdowns that you don't have to score.
And so in the transitive property, it doesn't directly work this way. But if you're Alex Golish, you step in and you're like, so all I got to do is make this team a touchdown better. That's it. With my offensive mind, with my game plan, with my coaching staff, with my guys, with my system, the one that was one of the best in the country, doesn't seem too intimidating now, does it? Doesn't seem all that daunting for new head coach Alex Golish, who does keep DJ Durkin, who does keep Vontrell King-Williams, and those are the impacts on the field. But what about off the field? What about recruiting? What about the portal? What about just retention of this roster? We talk more about that because it is signing day. We give you updates from what's been happening right after this as we're just underway here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Got a couple of minutes before we take our bottom of the hour break, where we will then talk with our man Jordan Hill of Dogs 247, get some final updates from Athens on the football team in terms of what happened with the playoff rankings last night and SEC championship game coming up this weekend, and a little update on Georgia basketball as well. But we're talking about Alex Golish. We're talking about DJ Durkin being retained, Vontrell King-Williams being retained, and we kind of went into some of the numbers, Christian did, about what that means for on the field performance, right? But now the question becomes, okay, what does Golish and company do with retention, recruiting, and transfer portal, right? And in terms of recruiting, today is National Signing Day, and we've seen overall, I think, a pretty good day for Auburn, right? Most people know that 2026 was not supposed to be a crazy recruiting class for Auburn, especially on the offensive side of the football, because you've loaded up the last couple of years at running back and receiver. Now, you'd love to see as many offensive linemen as you can get, but we'll see how that goes. But overall, today has been a pretty successful day for new head coach Alex Golish, and 48 hours of recruiting and keeping your defensive coordinator is a big reason why.
It definitely is. You've jumped 28 spots, and again, where you sit right now is 53rd in the overall class, but you started at 78th today based off of just the commits you had, and that's 78th after the decommit from Braylon Womack, who signed with Mississippi State earlier today. The fact that you were able to still jump as many spots like that, usually when you're in the 70s or the 80s and you get one of those four or right on the edge of a 5-star, or you get a 5-star commit, that one commit itself can make that kind of jump. You did that without necessarily having that major pickup. You still keep Jaquez Wilkes and Shedarius Tootle, both of those guys,
huge
linebackers.
Huge.
Both of those guys love DJ Durkin. Shedarius Tootle and his brother Shedrick Tootle both had conversations once they didn't think that Durkin was going to get the job, or, you know, it was very much up in the air. And as soon as they saw that Durkin was retained, they started posting everything saying, everybody's welcome, come home, everybody, our guy is still here. And so that just builds so much more confidence and goes to show you why DJ Durkin was just the easy answer, because your top two commits are on the defensive side of the football.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is you also saved Jaquez Wilkes, the four-star linebacker from Wadley.
Yeah, those were the first two.
Right, that's what I'm saying. You had talked about Tootle. I was adding on with Jaquez Wilkes, the idea that you keep both of them for...
I said both.
I don't think you did. You said the Tootle brothers. You didn't say Jaquez.
Okay. Good thing we can go back to the ESPNAU.com and listen to the podcast. It'll be posted right after the show.
Guess we'll have to go back and get receipts. For people who are asking about announcements later today, tomorrow, or Friday, the big update there is Jace Matthews, the four-star receiver, who is still expected to sign with Auburn. We're seeing if that's still the case come Friday, but he did bump that back to Friday, so we'll see what that looks like. But I know we got to get out of here literally as we speak, but had a question about the running back room, which we hinted at earlier, asking if Damari Austin could return, or do you project we go after another running back in the transfer portal? Yes, he can technically.
Yeah, could.
Don't expect that to happen. You also have some conversations with Omar Mapson, Alvin Henderson, Jeremiah Cobb, Darrell Robinson. My guess is Auburn has to go to the portal for a running back somewhere. That would be my early assumption.
If you can keep Jeremiah Cobb, that's answer number one.
Yeah, I think so.
And I think if you have that right there, you have the second best back in the league statistically other than Kawan Lacy last year. I think you're doing your things right.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk more about that as we go. But Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 joins us next.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us. And a reminder that we are on the air for about another hour or so today, ending a little bit early. Our buddy Britt Bowen of Auburn Women's Basketball, the voice of Auburn Women's Basketball, is up in Syracuse, New York, getting ready for the Lady Tigers taking on the Syracuse Orange Ladies? Is that how they describe themselves? Because it's not the Orange Men, right? So they'd have to be the
Lady Orange?
The Lady Orange, however it is. Auburn and Syracuse in the ACC-SEC Challenge on the women's basketball side. We're going to have that broadcast for you here on ESPN 106.7 starting at 3:45. So we'll go off the air a little after 3:30, and then there will be no drive this afternoon. But more on that in just a little bit. But we get to the phone lines and welcome in our first guest of the day. And we talk to this guy every Wednesday at 2:30. He is Jordan Hill of Dogs 247. My man, it's great to talk to you as always. Hope you had a fantastic Thanksgiving week, and you got a whole nother game to cover this weekend, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate you guys having me on. Had a great Thanksgiving, a fun Black Friday down in Mercedes-Benz down in Atlanta to watch Georgia Tech. And like you said, you're ready for another trip to Atlanta with the SEC title game on Saturday. So a lot going on, and that's not even to mention basketball, which I know we'll get into later, but makes for plenty of stuff for us to talk about today.
Well, we're going to hit on, of course, the Georgia Tech game. We'll hit on SEC championship game, college football playoff rankings, and then, yeah, we'll hit on basketball on our way out. And was it the prettiest of games you're ever going to see in college football this season? But Georgia does beat Georgia Tech 16-9. And, I mean, if you watch the game, you know how you got to that score. For the box score viewers, you're like, wow, that was probably pretty ugly. But, I mean, it was a fight all the way through, and Georgia finds a way to take down Georgia Tech this past weekend. What'd you see inside of Mercedes-Benz Stadium?
Yeah, it was an offensive struggle for Georgia. It was a game where it seemed like in the first half they were going to really just rely on the run game and try to get out of there with Nate Frazier leading the charge and just being able to run over Georgia Tech. And it was a situation where it really felt like things changed when Drew Bobo, the starting center, an Auburn High alum, I should shout out, got hurt his foot just for halftime. He did not return to the game. All indications are he is not going to be available for the SEC title game on Saturday. We'll know for sure. We'll get a better picture Wednesday night when they put out the availability report. But, yeah, it was just a game where it just seemed like the offense was just not on the same page. Gunnar Stockton really struggled. I think he ended up with 70 passing yards. Again, the loss of Drew Bobo really affected how well they were able to run the ball. It was a situation just late where Georgia just did enough to get the job done. The defense deserves a lot of credit. They played fantastic, forced 3 field goals, had a big interception when it seemed like Tech had gotten the momentum a little bit. So it's one of those that I think we'll look back on it and say an ugly performance, but one of those situations where you'll take an ugly win over a pretty loss any day.
And if there's one thing that worked really, really well for the Georgia Bulldogs, it was Nate Frazier, who you felt like was the number one back coming into the season, dealt with a little injury, had some fumbles in there as well, and Chauncey Bowens really carried the majority of the load. And I remember we talked to where Chauncey kind of became that running back one. However, his injury in Texas kept him, or I guess against Texas, kept him out of this game. But Nate Frazier goes 16 carries of 108 yards, averaging right around 7 a carry. What kind of confidence does his ability give you for not only the SEC championship game, but later on in December in the playoff as well?
Well, it's huge. He's played really well in the last month, and he deserves a lot of credit for the way he worked and the way he bounced back from the loss to Alabama back in September. He had a critical fumble in that game, kind of really looming large in a 3-point loss for Georgia, but he's played really well since then. Played well against Georgia Tech and wants to carry that momentum into this Alabama game, and very fascinating just to see how Georgia runs the ball, because a big reason why Georgia was knocking on the doorstep of taking the lead from Alabama, being able to try to win that game back in September, was the run game was so impressive. Alabama just could not stop Georgia on the ground. Chauncey Bowens really led the charge there. That was really his welcome to the SEC kind of moment, and he sort of announced himself with that performance. Like you mentioned, Chauncey's been a little banged up. Did not play against Tech, but I am anticipating he'll be available this weekend.
Okay.
But really feels like Nate Frazier has reemerged and reasserted himself as that top running back. I think you'll see him as the top back out there when we get to Saturday's game, and they're really hoping that they can use him, use Chauncey Bowens as sort of that 1-2 punch. And if they can get good blocking up front, which we'll get a better idea of on Saturday, I think Georgia should feel really good about just the position this offense is in with what the run game is capable of ahead of the playoff.
Georgia comes in as the third ranked team in the most recent college football playoff rankings behind Ohio State and Indiana, who play in the Big Ten championship game. Georgia obviously playing Alabama. Jordan, and I know that Kirby would never speak on this because he wants to go and he wants to go win an SEC championship, because he talks about that all year long, and he gives the motivation of his team isn't good enough, and they use that throughout the entire calendar year of the football season. But is there any legitimate concern of, not by any means missing the college football playoff, but Georgia right now slated for a first round bye? If Alabama were to upset Georgia, Georgia could possibly slide out of that top four and have to play another home game. Yes, it would be inside Sanford Stadium, which would be all the Georgia fans could ask for, but another game where you're having to possibly risk sort of injuries, anything like that. Is there any concern with that general conversation in the SEC championship?
You know, Georgia's really downplayed it, which shouldn't be a surprise. I mean, Kirby Smart's talked about how much it means to win an SEC championship, and I think that's sort of the attitude the program's taken to heart. And I will say one thing that I think has helped in terms of not looking forward and kind of overlooking this game or kind of taking this game lightly is the fact it's Alabama. Georgia's got a 3-game losing streak to Alabama. You know, they have not won since that national championship game back in January 2022, they see this as a situation where they want to try to get a little revenge. And, you know, we talked to some of the players earlier this week, C.J. Allen, one of Georgia's starting linebackers. I asked him, you know, do you think about the fact that you're 0-3 against Alabama? He said, you know, I got to be honest, I do. He said that he had actually talked to his mom about that the night before, about how he's never beaten Alabama. So I think that part of it has kind of helped keep Georgia's focus, you know, whether, you know, Georgia will make the playoff no matter what, you know, happens on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I think they're in really good standing. But I think they know they got something to play for. And above, you know, being an SEC champion, I think there's some pride on the line, you know, to know that with all the success Georgia's had under Kirby Smart, Alabama's been the program that has still had Georgia's number. Kirby's 1-7 now against Alabama. I think that they want to go out there and prove that they're just as good, if not better, than Alabama. And they got a perfect opportunity to do that on Saturday. There just happens to be an SEC title on the line as well.
We're talking with our man Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. And look, there's so many different storylines for this SEC championship game. You and Christian just talked about one of them. But is there something else to this game, maybe something that nobody's talking about or something that we're missing when two top 10 teams with the caliber of Georgia and Alabama get together this Saturday afternoon inside of Mercedes-Benz Stadium? Anything else that could give this game a little bit more oomph for people to tune in and watch on Saturday?
I think it's really just comparing how this game plays out to what we saw in September. And what I would point out is how the defense for Georgia has taken a step forward. I mean, it starts with the pass rush. They never sacked Ty Simpson in that game in September. Georgia had one sack, and it was on a trick play where Jeremy Bernard was trying to throw the ball, and they wound up getting him down in the backfield. But this pass rush has looked a lot better in the last few weeks. First eight games, Georgia had eight total sacks. In the last five games, they've had nine. So really paying attention to that. And I'd say keep an eye on Gabe Harris and Quintavious Johnson as far as the guys who are going to be bringing the pressure. And then really one of the matchups I'm fascinated to watch is the Georgia secondary. This is a group that, you know, going into that Alabama game, they had played Tennessee. They'd won that game in overtime. They had a bye week, and then they played Alabama. And all the attention was on the Georgia secondary because they struggled against Tennessee, gave up several explosives, and not only gave up some explosives, but gave up explosives that went for touchdowns. And I thought they played pretty well against Alabama in that game back in week five, but you've only seen Ellis Robinson take a step forward. You've only seen DeMello Jones play a bigger role and look really good in it. You've still got Galen Everett playing really well. You got K.J. Bolden. He's been making some big hits in the recent games. I think there's a building confidence on this defense that was sort of lacking when they played when Georgia hosted Alabama the first time around. Add in the fact that, you know, there's rumors about what's going on with Ryan Williams. He didn't have a target in that Auburn game. It's just really interesting to see what this looks like the second time around. Can this Georgia defense take advantage of the growth they've had in the last 2 months? And what does that, you know, what does that actually look like when they take on Alabama on Saturday?
Jordan, it's something that Auburn necessarily hasn't had to deal with as of late, but Georgia seems to have to deal with it every single year of still playing football when National Signing Day or early National Signing Day is here. So now all of these coaches having to wear multiple hats and make sure that they get the guys that are committed, put the pen to the paper, and so far Georgia's done a great job of that. So far here today, five players in the top 100, Georgia comfortably in the top 10, looking to get into the top five. Is there a position or a group that you think this Georgia team really tried to attack, or maybe a couple of names that everybody listening needs to look out for the future of Georgia football?
I think the biggest thing they went and did was once again reload at inside linebacker, and it's just a position that they've taken really to heart and really put a lot of work toward landing those guys and making sure that room is always filled. I'd start with Nick Abrams from Maryland that they wind up signing today. They also added Elijah Littlejohn, a former Penn State commit. They added, he committed toward the end of November to add to that class. And then earlier today, they flipped a Coastal Carolina commit from South Gwinnett, Terrence Pinnock. That was a really good pickup, especially on the last day. And besides that, I'd also just point to the secondary. They really made an emphasis, made an effort to go get and go reload to get ready, because they're going to lose some veterans in that secondary. But getting Caden Harris, who's a cornerback out of Tennessee, going out and getting Jordan Smith, Zach Fort from IMG Academy. Zach's a guy that I think you're going to be hearing from sooner rather than later. And then the only other new addition besides Pinnock, they also added Tyreek Jemison, an offensive lineman, earlier today. But they also got Blake Stewart, who's a safety from Woodward Academy. Vanderbilt and Miami have been pushing very hard for him there. So I think they really made it a point in this class, this 2026 cycle. We need more defensive backs. We need to get some young guys that are ready to come in and can get in the mix relatively early on. I think they did a really good job with that. And I think it set them up well as part of what I think is overall a really strong 2026 class.
We got our man Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 on the phone lines with us for just a couple of more minutes. And I do want to hit on Georgia basketball because if people are not paying attention to what Mike White and the Dogs are doing on the hardwood, now would be a good time to tune in for one of the highest scoring teams in the country. They are averaging 100 points a game. Exactly. They've scored triple digits four times this year in back-to-back games, including the beatdown on the road in Florida State, 107-73 to help get the SEC one of its few wins in the ACC-SEC Challenge. I mean, what's working so well for this Georgia basketball team, Jordan?
Yeah, very impressive win Tuesday night in Tallahassee. Georgia won 107-73, like you said, averaging triple digits a night, and I just think that they've done a really good job when it comes to understanding their personnel and playing at a pace where they can really push teams. And I thought Tuesday was a great example of what this team is capable of. They shot really well, particularly much better from three. That's really been the issue for this team early on in the season. But they play really good defense. Florida State struggled shooting the ball early in this game and allowed Georgia to build. I think they led by 19 at halftime. And a lot of credit to Georgia. There's been a few times this year where they build that first half lead, and those early minutes of the second half, the other team kind of whittles it back and either makes it a game or at least makes it tighter. Georgia kept the throttle down after halftime, and Mike White talked about that on the post-game radio and said that they've been really conscious of trying to tweak things about how they approach halftime and what they want to do and what they want to do different. He said, man, I feel like we might have found something with how we handle that time in between halves. They look really impressive. Jeremiah Wilkinson continues to impress. He was Georgia's leading scorer. Blue Kane making plays. Cannon Catchings making plays. And got to shout out this guy. I'd do it just for his name, but he's also a heck of a player. Smurf Millender, the UTSA transfer. That's awesome. Has been very impressive as well. So Georgia's 8-1. They've gotten off to a good start, and really fascinated to see what they do next. Got a few days off of finals coming up, and then not this Saturday, but next Saturday, they're going to take on Cincinnati in Atlanta as part of Holiday Hoopsgiving. They win that game, I think they're sitting really pretty for getting through non-conference and only having one loss.
Yeah, I mean, Georgia basketball, I mentioned it, one of the few wins the SEC picked up yesterday in the challenge. Duke beat Florida, Syracuse beat Tennessee, North Carolina beat Kentucky, Virginia Tech beat South Carolina, but thankfully Oklahoma, Texas A&M, and Georgia got wins. And man, I mean, for Georgia basketball to be averaging 100 points a game, and you mentioned it, got the Bearcats coming up. They win that one. They should be fine the rest of non-con play. And for people who forget, Georgia opens up with Auburn in the SEC opener, that game in Athens coming up on January 3rd. And so is it too early to ask what the ceiling could be for this Georgia basketball team nine games in, Jordan, before we let you go?
Or, Jordan, sorry, doubling down on that, has the mentality changed on just trying to make the NCAA tournament versus trying to make a little bit of noise?
Good question.
Yeah, I think that's where this team is because they got so many new guys, is that they want to make the NCAA tournament. But I thought that the Tuesday game at Florida State, that was their first true road game of the season. They played a couple of neutral site games in Charleston. But for me, just as someone who's followed this team, I think that Tuesday's game has probably made a believer out of a lot of folks. Again, that's not a great Florida State team they beat, but it is a Florida State team that only lost by two to Florida earlier this year. So I think that there is a buy-in. I think that this team recognizes what it's capable of. We'll learn a lot, I think, about both teams. You guys mentioning that Auburn game in Stegman Coliseum in early January. That's going to be a great barometer, I think, for both teams. But no, I think Georgia entered this season with a quiet confidence that they felt like that they could come back, play really well into the season, and have a shot to be back in the NCAA tournament. What I've seen during non-conference play, I think it backs up that belief. Fascinated to see what they're able to do in conference play because they play so fast and just what that, what that takes out of every single player. But I think they should feel really good about the way this thing is trending. We will get a better sense, though, once Auburn comes to town, just how good this Georgia team is.
He writes for Dogs247 and joins us every Wednesday at 2:30 here on ESPN 106.7. We have kept him way too long. Jordan Hill of Dogs247. Man, we appreciate you as always, and it's a busy season, I know, so very grateful for your time. And tell the people where they need to know and where they can find all your great work covering Georgia football again this weekend for the SEC Championship game and, of course, basketball as we roll on through that as well.
Absolutely. Dogs247.com, on Twitter at Jordan Davis Hill, on Twitter at Dogs247. And yeah, if the folks listening, the Auburn fans, if you're checking out Auburn Undercover, just go check out what we got going on our sister side at Dogs247. But a lot of good stuff going on. Junkyard Dogcast podcast. Got a preview podcast with Mike Rodak tomorrow for Saturday's game. We're going to do a podcast later on Thursday with several of Georgia's 2026 signees. So a fun time, and basketball coverage mixed in there as well. I appreciate you guys having me back on, and looking forward to catching back up again next week.
Yes, sir. Jordan Hill, Dogs247. Again, check him out for all your Georgia insight for football and for basketball as well. We appreciate him. Again, we kept him for much longer than we normally do, so sorry about that. But, yeah, great stuff coming out of Athens, and watch out for that Georgia basketball team, man. I'm just telling you. They're averaging 100 points a game.
You have Smurf, Millender, and Blue Kane.
Eric,
that's Blue Smurf right there, baby.
Yeah. Blue Smurf.
So, Jordan, if you want to use that,
any chance they throw an alley-oop to one another, Blue Smurf. Dude, that would be sweet.
I'm telling you.
That would be awesome. We're not
just
good
not
enough
on January 3rd.
No, yeah, don't do that on January 3rd, please. Yeah, Eric at Auburn texted us in our text box and said that settles it. Jacob or Christian's firstborn son will now be named Smurf. I'll let you take the heat on that one. Yeah, you talk to your girlfriend and see if she's down for that, and then I don't have to worry about it. So
yeah, that's very fair. Eric, appreciate you again last night.
I heard he came and bought you some stuff. I ain't ever been bought concessions from Eric, and other people have, and I shout them out, but
yeah,
that's fine. Whatever.
No. Let us
know. He didn't want to drive to Prattville last night and buy me a bottle of water when I was calling basketball. That's fine.
He said he knows where his priorities lie, and that's all that I'll say.
Well, he has a chance to do it again on Friday, doesn't he? We got to get to break. Our final segment of the hour coming up. It'll be very quick. Then we'll get into the second hour of the show. It's Double D Wednesday, where Daryl Dapperts will join us after that. So we'll be right back. We got to get to break, because if not, we may be fired. All right, so our timing skills are pretty terrible today, and that's okay, but we are out of time in hour number one, in case you couldn't figure that out. But we have more time coming up in hour number two, as Daryl Dapperts of Locked On Auburn in the Barn. He joins us not from his usual spot. We got a man with boots on the ground out west. That's right. We talked to Daryl Dapperts coming up to start hour number two. We'll talk some more college basketball as well, because, man, the slate tonight is truly unbelievable. And then we're out of here. So more on that coming up in hour number two here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
Is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us as we get underway here in a shortened hour number two as we're on the air until about 3:35, 3:36, somewhere in there. We are going off the air a couple of minutes early today. Chris is going to tell you about that just coming up in a few minutes, but it's going to be a fun 30 or so minutes here in hour number two. But if you missed any of hour number one, we talked about the news that came out yesterday afternoon as we were going off the air about Auburn and new head coach Alex Golish retaining DJ Durkin as the defensive coordinator. And I think they rolled Toomer's corner last night because of that, and they probably should. And talked about what the impact that that will have on the field for Auburn defensively, plus off the field in recruiting and roster retention. So we talked a lot about that. Plus, we did talk some recruiting since it is National Signing Day, in case people forgot. And Auburn has jumped up several spots, double-digit spots, on the recruiting sites today and hoping to do a little bit more in the next day or two. And then we talked to Jordan Hill of Dogs 247, got all the updates from Athens about Georgia football, Georgia basketball, and beyond. So if you missed any of that, that was in the first 60 minutes of today's show. You can go back and listen to the podcast version of it on our station website at any time at ESPNAU.com.
That's where we're going back as soon as we get off air today to figure out if I did say Jaquez Wilkes or not. We have confirmation that it was said.
I don't trust that source. That's how I feel.
Because it wasn't sent to the on the line text box. It was.
Yep. If that's to your personal phone.
I paid him to send it. So thank you.
I'd believe it.
Thank you. Here in hour number two, we're about to get our man Double D on Locked On Wednesdays segments here with him, talking all things Auburn basketball as Auburn takes on NC State tonight inside Neville Arena at 8:15. Also, Auburn versus Syracuse coming up in just a little bit. The reason for our shortened show here today, Brett Bowen calling it from the Dome at Syracuse, which is a really, really cool venue. You're going to be really excited to see how Coach Larry Vickers tries to respond to the loss to the Ducks at home, but trying to get a big-time response in the women's side of the SEC-ACC Challenge. On the men's side of things, the ACC dominated yesterday. SEC trying to get back on the right track on night two. We're also going to talk about some of the other great games in college basketball here tonight, and again, even recapping the ones from last night, and then a little bit of a shortened segment at 3:30, where we'll talk a little bit more about Auburn signing day, about some of the updates, and give our final thoughts for Auburn and NC State here tonight. All of that coming up here in hour number two.
And so let's get to the phone lines to start the second hour of today's show. Phone lines are not open for now because we do have a guest that we're getting to, but the text box is open where we have a couple of questions that we're going to address ourselves. We'll probably ask our guest about these as well at 334-784-1067. So let's head to the phone lines, but let's head out to Arizona where Daryl Dapridge has boots on the ground. He's going to be covering Auburn basketball this Saturday when they take on the Wildcats out there, but took a couple of days to go see some folks. What's going on, Double D? Safe travels out there to Arizona?
Safe travels. Both flights, excellent. And, touched down a couple hours ago and getting settled in, ready to get this thing cranked up.
Daryl, I know this week is just a giant memory-filled weekend for you, is it not? Haven't you? You grew up in McHale Memorial, did you not?
Yes, I hadn't been here back for 34 years. I grew up here. First college basketball game I ever saw was here at McHale Center. Had season tickets behind their bench during the Lute Olson years. Played on that floor in high school at a couple of tournaments. And so it's just going to be a really cool little homecoming. And I'm taking one day just to kind of do a nostalgia tour, you know, go see the house I grew up in and the
That's
school
awesome.
I went to and ball fields and all that good stuff. So I have my brother-in-law out here with me and we're just kind of, preparing and then obviously get into game coverage mode Saturday morning.
Well, man, we appreciate you taking some time on a personal trip to talk with us on the airwaves, and it's hard to not have you on in a time like this where there's so much news going on around Auburn Athletics, and we have to start with, of course, the big one, because we have not talked to you since the news became official that Auburn's 33rd head football coach is Alex Golish from South Florida. He's bringing a flurry of staff members with him. He's bringing a flurry of players with him. We'll talk about the retention stuff as well for DJ Durkin, but your initial thoughts, or maybe your thoughts a couple of days after the fact, of Alex Golish as Auburn's new head football coach.
I liked it when it happened, and I like it even more now. It's really, really growing on me. It makes a lot of sense. And guys, there was this perception that, you know, John Cohen and Auburn late Saturday night was going to screw up this coaching search, because we heard Sumrall. And then sometimes you just kind of luck into one. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, through preparation and through having a plan, but I just believe that Auburn probably got the better fit. And even though they were, all eyes were on Sumrall, that they just, the way things fell and how it fell into their lap, they may look back on this and say, what a great good fortune that we had. And I'm trying to decipher whether I feel that way because of Golish as a standalone candidate, or of what it looks like compared to what we thought was going on Saturday night. And that's no slight against DJ Durkin, but I think after watching Auburn go 1-2 and the same symptoms of the same problems being there, couldn't win close games, you know, couldn't stop somebody late to take the lead, all that kind of stuff. It just felt like it needed to be a clean slate, like it needed to be a new era from the head man, you know, the head coaching job. And I was a little bit concerned that wasn't going to be the case. It was going to be business as usual. And then waking up Sunday morning, starting to get some texts around 8 a.m. that it was going to be Golish. I felt really good about it. And I don't know if it's because, you know how it is, the alternative looks so much better, but I don't. I think if you do a deep dive, he's somebody that I like as a candidate, you know, a little bit down the list. If you couldn't get a Dillingham or a Jeff Brohm or someone like that. And I just think, man, it's all about timing. And I think right now, this is the perfect coach for the perfect time. Now we'll see, because other coaches before have won you don't win football games at the podium. And so, but I just do believe that his style will translate. And I think finally, after a long time, Auburn's going to see a very potent and competent offense.
Well, Daryl, too, how much confidence does it bring to you? I compare this hire to almost one of the offensive coordinators at a high level, just by somebody who's going to come in every single day and try and prove himself. And Golish is a very smart man. He understands all of these Sumrall conversations and realizes that he was not the overall number one option for the Auburn Tigers. But how much do you think somebody like Golish is going to thrive off of not necessarily the pressure, but just the desire to go out and prove, hey, I might have been number two, I might have been behind Sumrall, but now it's time to go to work and outwork him, because you feel like that's been the overall conversation, that's been the overall mentality since he stepped foot on the Plains?
Three takeaways, three things that that really strike me as far as some characteristics of him that I've noticed early on. Number one, I think you're absolutely right. He absolutely is grateful to have this job, similar to what like Bruce Pearl was when he got the basketball job. You know, there was a sense of entitlement, I feel like, to Harsin and Freeze, like it was their God-given divine right to get that job like they were supposed to. Golish truly feels like, I'm grateful to have this job. I appreciate having this job. That came across first. Second of all, some humility and some humbleness really came through in that press conference, where he does not make it all about himself. He truly, I mean, it really spoke volumes. And then the third thing that I really like about him is, I'm tired of Auburn University and Auburn coaches getting shade thrown at it and standing there and taking it like a schoolgirl. You can tweet at us and say things about us, no one says anything. You know, you can make comments in your post-game press conference, and if you're an opposing coach, and no one does anything. The officials can absolutely screw you for 2 years, and your athletic director has to be the one that gets after him on the field, not you. There are certain coaches that I think officials are intimidated by, And I truly believe that. I'm not saying it's a conspiracy. I just think psychologically and subconsciously. And Auburn continually, it was like, thank you, sir. May I have another? And it was hit after hit after hit. And I just don't think when you look at that footage of him going after Tom Herman post-game with the handshake, that's what I want. I want when Lane Kiffin comes in here next year coaching LSU and he tweets out something like a high school girl on TikTok like he does, I want Golish getting after him post-game in the when they shake hands. That's what I want. And I think Auburn has a coach that'll do that.
Well, Auburn seems to have the guy at the helm who could do that with Alex Golish from USF. And then, of course, Darryl, the very first question that everybody wanted to know was DJ Durkin. Would he be retained as the defensive coordinator? It took a couple of days, which had some people worried and stressed, and myself included. But the news as of about 23 hours ago is that, yes, DJ Durkin will be retained as Auburn's defensive coordinator. Vontrell King-Williams will also be retained on the defensive side of the football, and you're seeing that loom very large today on National Signing Day, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely. And then there was going to be a transition, and I think from a Durkin standpoint, there's a couple of different factors. Number one, he is a very good defensive coordinator. He did have a very good statistical defense that kept Auburn in a lot of games. Unfortunately, there were times that they couldn't make that stop. We've talked about it before that it's not just that you stop somebody. A lot of times it's when you stop them. But a lot of that has to do, guys, with them just being wore out.
Yeah.
By the time the fourth quarter came, like the Alabama game with us standing on the sideline, you could see it coming a mile away because look at time of possession in the first half. And so Auburn got tired. They got wore out their defense. What I think happens now is Durkin doesn't have to feel like his margin of error is so slim. You can give up 24, 28. You can give up the lead in a game, and I think Auburn will now have an offense with Golish that's capable of coming back. And then the on-field stuff, regardless of what you say about what happened down the stretch, those players love him. I'm not so worried about this narrative that they play hard for him. By God, they should. Any college athlete should play hard for their coach. They're getting paid, and they're a college athlete. But there was a true love and respect for him that I think will keep a lot of people around. The right people. The right people need to get. To be perfectly honest with you guys, some guys need to be shown the door. Some guys need to leave. But the right people and the right retention of the roster, Durkin helps with that. Because even on the offensive side of the ball, guys, those players love him. So I think all those factors made it really, really important that that happened. And I do believe, you know, with the branch commitment and hearing that these Wells kids, the Wells linebackers that were committed to Texas, that they could come to Auburn.
That, Darryl, that's confirmed. That happened about 3 minutes ago, both of them.
Well, see, and I apologize. I did not know that, but that's me being a prophet, is it not? A crystal ball, Notre Dame. I did not know that because obviously I'm here.
Darryl, kind of baby.
Yeah, yes. The 190th overall player, a four-star rated 92 according to 247, just flipped.
So that's
off.
Good because I had heard, you know, when I was like checking stuff on the plane that the smoke was there that they were going to commit. So the confirmation that they did, that's great. That's good pickup. So yeah, I think that's what you're seeing, and you know, fingers crossed that Jace Matthews signs Friday and holds his commitment as a five star. It's hard. I mean, this class, we were used the last couple of years to seeing top 15 classes. But what did Auburn do with them? That, you know, and I get it. We want to retain some of that roster, but that was a roster that was 10-15 over the last 2 years. That was a multi-million-dollar 2-year-in-a-row signing class.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, development's key. So yeah, I'm not thrilled that Auburn may end up in the 30s in recruiting. It could be worse. It could be Penn State. But you just, you know, that's to be expected during the middle of a coaching change and with the early signing day being 3 days after you name a coach.
Well, Darryl, there's a lot of hype on the football field and it was signing day, but want your thoughts on basketball as well, as you are there to cover the Auburn and Arizona game coming up here in a couple of days, coming up this weekend. But want your thoughts on the SEC-ACC Challenge, where the ACC dominated night one, Auburn playing in night two, as well as a couple of other teams trying to get that kickback and trying at least even it up, if not take the lead in night number two. The ability to respond in that second half against St. John's, you feel like this team is working through a lot of momentum right now. What do you want to see from this Auburn Tiger team inside Neville Arena tonight?
Well, the St. John's game was big. It was a big statement game. It was a big bounce back. And then tonight, you know, you play a North Carolina State that's trying to become really relevant again, although a couple years ago they went really far in the tournament. Will Wade has won everywhere he's been. He's dangerous as a coach. He knows Neville Arena very, very well from his days at LSU. So we'll see how that comes, you know, plays out tonight. I mean, see how Murphy plays, because he had a pretty good game. Mm. You know, is Pettiford going to continue to be on his role now that he's playing at home? Jovic, I think, is healthy back. So there's a lot. I think this team's starting to mesh. It's starting to come together. And I think what happened last Wednesday night was a big-time springboard for that. The Arizona game is going to be a major, major test. This team, number two team in the country, very, very big, down low, very athletic. They can protect the rim. They can score around the rim. One thing Arizona does not do well is shoot the three. They average 2 3-pointers a game. So if you're Stephen Pearl and the Auburn Tigers, that's the strategy. You push them out behind the arc and you make them shoot three and see if they can settle for some threes, because Auburn's going to have to use its athleticism, and they're going to have to knock down some shots. That is a very, very tough place to play. It's very similar to Arkansas and Rupp and those type of places. It seats 14, 15, and that place gets rocking. It's tough. So that's the strategy. You can't let Arizona get inside. If they get inside, it's going to be a long night. You got to force them through the perimeter game. And then the other thing from a defensive standpoint, Arizona does not let you get stuff around the rim, but they will give you the mid-range jumper all day. Tahad, mm-hmm. Keyshawn, and Overton, and those guys have to be content shooting the mid-range. It'll be there. And you can score a lot of points that way, because you're not going to get to the free throw line, I think, as much as you have in previous games.
Auburn coming down the home stretch of the non-conference schedule. NC State tonight inside of Neville Arena, then on the road at number two Arizona, Chattanooga in Atlanta for the Holiday Hoops Giving. You'll play Purdue in Indianapolis, the number one team in the country, and then Queens before SEC play. Darryl, final thing before we let you go. In those five games of non-conference play, again, NC State, Arizona, Chattanooga, Purdue, and Queens, What's a successful stretch in your mind? Is it 3-2 and possibly off an upset?
3-2. If you get out of here 4-1, you're talking about a potential Sweet 16 team.
Wow. Okay.
So I think, yeah. I mean, because that means you're going to either knock off Purdue or Arizona.
Yeah.
And boy, would I love to walk out of the arena with Locked On Auburn gear, and it'd be Saturday night. Let me just say it that way.
Would that be bittersweet for you, though, Darryl? Bittersweet?
No, I've made the analogy before. It's the comparison of dating someone in high school and then who you marry.
I like that. I like
Arizona was the high school sweetheart. Auburn's the wife. Let's go.
And you're still happy for him until you got to go up and see him at a party, right?
That's right.
I love it, Darryl.
Right.
Well, man, we appreciate you. Darryl Dapperge again of Locked On Auburn in the Barn. We got him on the phone lines. He's out in Arizona, going to be covering the Auburn men's basketball game on Saturday night late against Arizona. Darryl, we appreciate you taking the time. Plug it all. Tell people where they can find you and your coverage this weekend for Auburn basketball.
Yeah, we dropped a crossover episode with the Arizona host of Locked On Wildcats, me and Zach. It'll drop Friday on Locked On Auburn. And then obviously we'll do the live immediately after the Auburn-Arizona basketball game. I will not be going live tonight. We'll be unavailable for that. But just keep following me on Locked On Auburn.
Awesome, man. Darryl, enjoy your trip out there, brother. You deserve it.
Thanks,
and we look forward to talking to you afterwards, okay?
All right, take care. You guys have a great week.
Thanks so much. Darryl Dapperts, Locked On Auburn and the Barn, joining us here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. We'll take a break, come back, and we'll talk some college basketball, because Auburn's in action tonight, but man, so are a lot of other good teams. We talk about that when we come back here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we continue on here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Got a couple of minutes in this segment. We'll have a couple of minutes in the next segment. And then we are ending the show early in about 10 or 12 minutes as Auburn women's basketball gets set to take on Syracuse on the road up in the Dome. And so we're going to hand it off to our man Britt Bowen, the voice of Auburn women's basketball, here coming up in about 20 minutes. They will get their broadcast started right here on ESPN 106.7, part of the ACC-SEC Challenge on the women's side, which, by the way, how did we come up and how did it get determined the ACC-SEC Challenge? Why is it not the SEC-ACC Challenge? I think SEC-ACC flows better.
I agree. I think it's flow or alphabetical.
I mean, is it really that important for alphabetical?
I don't know.
I just think it's to be SEC-ACC. It used to be the SEC Big 12 Challenge, right? It wasn't the Big 12 SEC Challenge.
Oh, gosh, I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure it was the SEC Big 12 Challenge. I could be wrong, and we're picking a fight that literally doesn't matter.
It was the Big 12 SEC Challenge.
Was it really?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Whatever.
Oh.
Does it really?
Well, there we go.
Huh.
Loyal listener.
Wow. Britt Bowen connected in Syracuse, New York, just chimed into the show via the personal text box and said, it flips every year. I didn't know that. Really?
So not even locations, the actual...
No, locations don't flip because remember we talked yesterday because
Duke gets home and home.
Because Duke got to play back-to-back home ACC games.
We're going to try this.
We're going to try this and see. Britt, are you there, my friend? Can you hear us?
Check, 1, 2.
Oh, there he is. We got a man live in New York, in upstate New York. What's going on, Britt?
Man, getting ready for tip-off here in the Dome. I'm not going to lie. This is pretty cool. This is a pretty cool atmosphere to get to call a game
in. Yeah, we both talked about how jealous we were of the fact that, yeah, you're calling the game in one of the most historic places in college basketball.
Well, I'm a little nervous because I went to the Tennessee-Syracuse game last night, and I'm pretty sure both teams missed like their first shots in the first 2 minutes of the game, definitely because of the perception of this place. So I'm hoping that's not the case, and I'm hoping we get to the glass early because, again, it did not go well last night for the men.
Yeah, I mean, does it – when you're going down into the venue, obviously you're going to be – are you sitting courtside? Do they have you up? I mean, can you – are you thrown off a little bit as a broadcaster?
I am sitting courtside, and actually no, because how they have it set up, they have their I guess, retractable bleachers on the far side of the court.
Right.
And it – I mean, you see the backdrop of the football stadium behind it, but what's weird is – you don't have the video board over center court because the video board here in the Dome is at the 50-yard line. So it's kind of hovering over the bleachers on the far side of the court. So that's a little unique. But I have to tell you, though, I played a ton of March Madness video games in this particular building. So to be here is – again, it's very surreal.
Yeah, well, that's really cool, man. We're excited to bring that coverage for everybody here in Auburn Opelika on ESPN 106.7. Auburn women's basketball taking on Syracuse. Can you give us a quick, just a quick synopsis of what you expect to happen tonight and tell the people what they can expect before we take our final break and wrap up the show here in a few minutes?
Yeah, well, for Auburn, and by the way, guys, sorry to interrupt your show here in the last
we love
segment,
it.
But certainly thank you for having me on. For Auburn, it's all about bouncing back, right? And then it's correcting the mistakes that they made down the stretch against Oregon. I know one thing tonight that will be huge is rebounding. Auburn, you don't have to win the rebounding battle, but you have to attack the glass. Like, guards are going to have to get involved to help the bigs because Syracuse, one, has a size advantage, but number two, Syracuse is, I think, they're 10th in the country in offensive rebounding. So second chance points is going to be big in this tonight if Auburn can limit that. I really like Auburn's chances. In talking to Coach LV, you'll hear his interview here coming up in about 20 minutes or so. You know, he's big on Auburn's got to start shooting the three again. Auburn hasn't shot the three in a couple of games, or at least well. And I'm worried about that because, again, this is a unique venue, depth perception. How does that play into it? But for Auburn, they've got to get the ball inside to Hottie Lay. When Hottie's playing well, Auburn's playing well. And, again, Auburn's got to play defense. Every single game this year, regardless of opponent, Auburn's got to play defense, play their style, turn people over. Auburn had very good stretches on Sunday against Oregon. Oregon, they just made the plays when they had to down the stretch. So for Auburn, it's all about bounce back, playing defense tonight, and rebounding. If they can do those things, they win the basketball game.
Auburn women's basketball taking on Syracuse. Broadcast begins in 15 minutes with the voice of Auburn women's basketball, Britt Bowen, live in Syracuse, New York. Man, we appreciate you taking the time. Have a great call. Enjoy this, man. It's a that's a bucket list item for sure.
Hey, guys, thanks again. War Eagle, enjoy the show.
Britt Bowen, voice of Auburn women's basketball. You'll hear him coming up in 15 minutes or so. That broadcast will start here on ESPN 106.7, the home of Auburn women's basketball versus Syracuse in the ACC-SEC Women's Challenge. We'll take a break, come back, and have a quick short segment, throw it to him, and that will have you the rest of the way here on ESPN 106.7. Back after this to wrap up the Wednesday edition of the show.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
Well, we normally have about 30 minutes left of today's show, but instead we have about three. And that is because we are ending early today, as we will be tossing it to Britt Bowen of Auburn Women's Basketball, as he'll have the call from the JMA Wireless Dome up in Syracuse, New York, as the Lady Tigers take on Syracuse in the ACC-SEC Women's Challenge for college basketball. So looking forward to that. That broadcast begins at 3:45, so we're going to end here in just a few minutes, throw it to an extended break, and then Britt will have full coverage for you from the JMA Wireless Dome up in Syracuse, New York. And so looking forward to that. No drive today. We're all back tomorrow for normal shows, normal times. And while there's great games in women's college basketball, Christian, there's phenomenal games in men's college basketball tonight, including Auburn and NC State.
You do, yeah. Even outside the SEC-ACC Challenge, you have Indiana and Minnesota. It's kind of the halfway decent game, not
– it's a Big Ten opener.
Right,
yeah.
Right. But just listing that one, you have sixth-ranked Louisville going on the road to take on Arkansas. Yeah. You have Clemson, who is 7-1, taking on Alabama.
Well, I was going to say, Louisville goes to Arkansas. You mentioned Indiana, Minnesota. Louisville and Indiana play on Saturday in Indianapolis. So that's a top 25 game between those two teams, so that'll be a really good
one. It will be, yeah. Clemson heads to Coleman Coliseum to the airplane hangar to take on Alabama. Alabama, 11-point favorites in that contest. And then you have SMU heads to Nashville, the Memorial Gymnasium, to take on Vanderbilt, where Vandy is a big favorite, excuse me, in that contest. And then again, on NC State and Auburn. At 8:15, LSU, Boston College, you have Virginia, Texas, Mississippi State, Georgia Tech in there as well.
Quick thoughts on Auburn, NC State. Tonight was a top 25 matchup. It is no longer. NC State dropped out of the AP poll. Auburn favored by 6.5.
Yeah, NC State walked into Maui feeling pretty good about themselves, went 1-2, including the loss to Texas, to kind of wrap everything up. I worry about we've heard the talks about the illness going through the men's locker room, and so
for Auburn,
how much of a factor will that play in the contest? Darion Williams is, again, one of the more talented players in pure scoring. And you, when you play in a Will Wade offense, you're going to have plenty of opportunities. It's a top 25 offense, according to KenPom, are the Wolfpack at NC State. And so should be a very, very fun matchup. I think Auburn could have a little bit more on the interior. Rebounding is obviously going to be a big question mark, and hoping that, although you're at home, big game to Tahad can continue to show out.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, let's see, making sure we do this right. Yep, there we go. So Auburn women's basketball coming up in just a couple of minutes. We'll have that for you. Britt Bowen on the call up in Syracuse, New York. Starts at 3:45, and he'll carry you through. All shows back tomorrow, including us, 2-4 here on ESPN 106.7. We'll recap signing day. We'll talk about men's basketball, women's basketball, and a whole lot more. Plus, keep talking football and whatever's going on in this coaching carousel that's going on right now. So we are back tomorrow, 2-4, here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.